absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Once again, people, get up, get up, get up. 10 a.m. It's on a Sunday, 4th of July weekend. I know y'all been partying, but get up because you know what time it is. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on a fine day in where I'm at in Jersey and on the East Coast. You know who you're talking to. This is JT, a.k.a. the Master, and the place to be is on the master plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. Let me try that again and be a little bit more, a little bit better with that. 347-637-3220. It's a place to be. You want to talk to me. We also have a chat room open. The chat room is there for your convenience. If you want to listen in the chat room and make a comment, you can do that. Make a statement. Ask a question, anything you like. Just remember, like I always say, what you put in it is what you're going to get out of it. You put nothing in, that's what you're going to get out. You put garbage in it, that's what you're going to get out. I only respond to the ones that put something in it quite naturally. And if you come foul, don't be surprised if I do the same thing. It is what it is. All right. It's been a slow day in sports, people, over this past week. Well, not slow, but a little bit happening here and there, but not a whole lot. But, and that's one reason, I don't say one reason, but that's reason one of the things I'm going to do is go off the grid a little bit. Normally talk about baseball, football, basketball, boxing, but you never heard me talk about these two sports, or very, very, not that much. And one of them you never, ever hear me talk about. We're going to talk some UFC. I watched some UFC matches last night for the first time. And then I'm going to talk about the sport I used to play in high school. But first, let's say this. And then we're also going to talk about these guys that opted out of their contracts in the NBA and are thinking about or making their world tours or their national tours to these different cities trying to get a max deal or trying to get paid, I should say. We got the second coming of the decision. Talking about with LeBron. Got my man in there talking about Melo, Carmelo Anthony. Chris Bosh is thrown in the mix a little bit. And there's other ones like Kevin Love. He's out there too. We got a few guys. And we're going to talk about what these guys may do or my opinion on this whole process. How's that? Let's start this way, okay? I just became aware of this. So I think I talk about it because the guy is, this is probably his last World Cup because 4 years from now he'll be damn near 40. I'm talking about Tim Howard, the goalkeeper for the U.S. World Cup team that went down in the hands of Belgium over the last few days, and ended the hopes of the U.S., especially the players that were playing, to possibly get to the next round at least, and hopefully we're looking for a World Cup championship. Well, those plans got dashed against a very strong Belgium team. Like you know, the U.S. was participating in the knockout stages in consecutive World Cups for the first time, or for those that didn't know. The Americans more than had their hands full against the Belgium side, loaded with top-flight talent. Out of 12 million compared to the U.S., who have over 300 million, the U.S. looked like they were the team that had the 12 million citizens compared to the Belgians, who seemed looked like they drew players from the 300 million. Belgium had a number of excellent chances throughout the match, yet couldn't slip anything past Howard until the contest went to extra time, knotted at 0-0. And for those who don't know what 0-0 is, 0-0, okay? While the sheer quantity of his saves was impressive, the quality was equally remarkable. There were, of course, a few easy saves mixed in, but he thwarted at least three one-on-one opportunities while stopping approximately seven or eight more from dangerous positions. Now, the match could have easily gone 3-0, 4-0, and quite naturally, that's a beatdown in soccer, and the rest of the United States team really deserved no better. However, the longtime Everton keeper, if that's the team that he's associated with, allowed no such deficit to happen, keeping his team in the game in which the Belgians attempted, and this is crazy amount of shots they attempted, 38 shots. Ultimately, Howard's mortality was proven as the Belgians slipped in a pair of goals that were essentially unstoppable. Well, you get 38 shots, and I'm not exactly sure how many shots the U.S. got, but was nowhere close to the amount the Belgians rained on Mr. Howard. Despite seeing his tournament come to an end, he was named by FIFA as the man of the match, and I didn't know that, after recording the highest confirmed saves total in World Cup history, which was 16. No one has ever done 16 saves in a World Cup match. And he's already 35, like I said, and by the time 2018 comes around, which is going to be played in Russia, it's unlikely that he's going to be able to be the goalkeeper in the 2018 World Cup. So even though he may not have the reflexes to serve at the team's top netminder, there just might be a spot on the roster for Mr. Howard in 2018. He's born and bred in North Brunswick, New Jersey, went to North Brunswick High School. Me being a Jersey guy and me being a brother just like him, I'm extremely proud of my man. And wish him nothing but the best. All right. Like I said, people, I was going off the grid, and I went off the grid a little bit with that. You never see me talk about soccer at any kind of great length, and I really had to give props to that. And I had to give a shout-out to the person that tuned me into it because I definitely didn't know it. And my sister had been watching the World Cup more than I have, and I used to play soccer in high school, really haven't watched a soccer game at all. But that's good info to know. We'll see if that it holds up. It probably will gonna hold up. For quite a while. I can't see anybody excuse me breaking that record anytime soon. It's been a record for over 50 years. So he broke a record that was held for 50 years. So what I'm saying, the records are made to be broken, but this could be along the lines of a 56-game hitting streak, meaning that it can be broken, but it's unlikely that someone will come along and get 17 saves in one World Cup game and break the record. So I think he'll go down in the record books and probably be an extremely long-standing record that more than likely will never get broken. All right, like I said, I'm going off the grid a little bit today. Not completely, but that's one part of the grid that I went off. The other part of the grid, which is way off for me, people, this is absolutely way off. I'm talking to UFC 175. For those who listen to the Saturday show, the Ultimate Fighting Championship, 175. That's, you know, that's MMA type of stuff. I'm not the guy to be talking about this on the most part, but my interest was piqued a little bit, and I decided to catch the events of the evening. Okay, they had several events. A couple of them really, I was surprised. Had two guys. And one of these matches was the this was a prelim match, which was Yoel Hall against Thiago Santos. These two guys, tail of the tape, they look the same. Same height, same weight, more than likely same reach, and same style of fighting, in my opinion. These two guys, same style of fighting. You're a Hall, who seemed like he was the better boxer of the two, was the victor. He came out with a after a five-round decision, the victor. He had it was an exciting fight because these two guys had similar styles, and you had to really watch this fight because Yoel Hall, I think it was in the second round, broke one of his toes on his foot. He broke it so bad that the bone was sticking out of his toe. And he went the distance, even using the foot that had a broken toe, and kicking with it, limping back to his corner after each round. And I didn't realize how bad it was, or a lot of people probably didn't realize how bad it was, until at the end of the match, when he actually panned down to it, was able to pan down to it, and actually see the bone of his toe protruding out of his skin. And he completed the fight and won the fight. It was pretty crazy at the time. They interviewed him at the end, and that's when you saw it, and you could see he was in obvious pain, and I guess the adrenaline has stopped flowing after the decision had been rendered. And you could tell that at the interview, he couldn't wait to get from the interview to get to the back in the training room so he can get this thing fixed or somebody give him some type of shot to numb the pain, because you can see he was in obvious pain. And I don't see how anybody would be able to sustain the type of pain he had with a protruding bone out of their foot, out of their big one of their toes, complete the match, and win the match. Unbelievable performance from him. There was other ones that I really weren't too impressed with. They had prelims, Faber versus Caceres, which Faber won. They had Robertson versus Alcantara, which Robertson won. They had Camozzi versus Santos, which Santos won. And they had Roop versus Font, which I do believe was canceled for the simple reason one of them had a medical issue, if I'm not mistaken. Then they had the main card. And on the main card was, like I said, Uriah Hall against Thiago Santos. Like I told you, Hall won that. And then they had Brimage versus Doan. Doan won that. All right. Then they had a female match, who is the reigning, I think it's lightweight championship, Ronda Rousey, who was 9-0 at the time, undefeated, against undefeated against Alexis Davis, who was, if I'm not mistaken, 16-5, and a second-rated contender for the title Rousey holds. These two went into the round, okay? Highly touted fight, highly anticipated fight. This was supposed to be a test for Ronda Rousey. The bell went off. The some punches were exchanged. Rousey hit Alexis Davis with a right hand, which stunned her, grabbed her by her head, flipped her down to her back, and completed to ground and pound her face with 16 seconds left in the first, 16 seconds into the first round. It was over. Over. 16 seconds into the first round. Not 16 seconds until the first round was over. 16 seconds into the first round. This highly touted, second-rated contender to the title went down. Let me put it this way, people. I don't watch UFC. I don't watch any kind of MMA. And this has probably got to be one of the most amazing things that happened. I watched it live. Rousey took her down to the ground, had her in a headlock, and proceeded to pound her. And I think the fourth or fifth pounding to her face, her arms went limp, and the ref said, "That's enough." And it was over in 16 seconds. 16 seconds, it was over. 4:44 into the first round, which is a five-minute round. 4:44, it was over. And she was still, now she's 10-0, looking for whoever else wants to go against her. Now, I was simply amazed that someone got beat down that quick and that efficiently. I mean, it was like it was a workout versus a championship match. I have to admit, I was extremely surprised. That was the co-main event. Okay? Hopefully, I was thinking to myself, now, this guy, which was the main event, Chris Weidman, who was the middleweight champion in the UFC, was going up against Lyoto Machida, who was a former champion, and this was supposed to be a real tough fight for him. Chris Weidman was coming off surgery back in May of on both knees. He had two meniscus tears, from what I understand. And I'm thinking, Lyoto Machida has a good shot of taking his title because, like I said yesterday on the FSP show, anybody who's had knee surgery 2 months into 2 months prior to a match, in my opinion, can't be in complete shape, and has to have some type of vulnerability, especially in those knees and in the legs, because of the two surgeries. It's not one. I could pass, but two on both your knees. That's saying something. So I had a thought that Lyoto Machida, could take Chris Weidman. Well, Chris Weidman, 31 total strikes to Machida's 25 total strikes, which is 60% of what Weidman had out of 52 total strikes. Machida had 43 total strikes. Let me put it this way. Weidman had 31 total strikes out of that landed out of 52, and Machida had 25 out of 43, which was very close. 60% for Weidman, for the percentage of strikes that landed, versus 59% for Lyoto Machida. Significant strikes, okay? Strikes that really, really counted. Weidman had 23 of 44, which was 53%. Machida was a little bit more efficient. He had 22 of 40, which was 56%. Weidman had 1 of 3 takedowns, which is 33%. And Machida had no takedowns. Chris Weidman looked like the more aggressive fighter, especially in the first three rounds. In my opinion, when I watched this, I'm thinking that Machida with buying his time, why, I don't know, because the fourth and fifth round seemed like he got a lot more aggressive, and when he did, he was getting the best of Chris Weidman. Those were the two rounds I'm talking about were the best rounds, even the five rounds in the total of the fight. The best rounds were the last two for Machida. Why he didn't go to the strategy that he had in the fourth and fifth earlier. Only Machida knows that. I think he would have had a real good shot of winning the fight because it was a pretty close fight. And if he had decided to take it to Weidman a little earlier, then there's a possibility he would have won the fight. the official scoring, and this is the reason why I'm saying this, because this was a close fight. And the official scoring for this fight was, to tell you the truth, I kept in touch with Victor during this fight, and I told him I wasn't too impressed with this fight and Weidman, even though he won it. And the scoring of the fight was 49-46 Weidman, 49-45 Weidman, and 48-47 Weidman. So even though he got four more from one judge, three more from another, and he outpointed Machito on one for another, I wasn't too impressed. Now, you have to think, was it because that he had surgery and he wasn't in tip-top shape, or it was a style make fights, or because of the competition, he wasn't as impressive as you would think he normally would be? Those questions are yet to be answered. But I do know one thing when I watched this fight. I wasn't impressed with Chris Weidman. I know that Lyoto Machida is kicking himself for the simple fact is he should have been more aggressive a lot earlier, and he would have probably pulled this fight off because it was that close. And for the most part, in the first three rounds, he didn't do much compared to the last two. So I don't know if he'll ever get another shot at the title. Excuse me. I don't know if the circumstances will be in his favor like they were last night. All I do know that is Lyoto Machida, you missed a golden opportunity to take the championship from Chris Weidman. Both of these guys got cut. Machida got a little bit more, got the worst for the wear. But like I said, going into the fourth and fifth round, Machida got more aggressive, more assertive, and Chris Weidman came out of the fight a little bloody too. That's all I can say, a little bloody. I don't know if I'm going to ever watch another UFC fight. I was just curious. I've never watched more than one match. I never watched one match. Let me put it that way. Much less I watched five matches. I think I watched five matches. And more intently, I watched the Hall and Santos fight. And I also watched the quite naturally Rousey and Davis. And then the co-main event was Weidman and Machida. So it is what it is. I mean, you know, like I said, I told them going off the grid a little bit, which I did with these two, meaning the soccer. But I had to give an acknowledgement there to my fellow New Jersey guy. And then completely off the grid, which I've never, ever, on this show, as long as I've been doing this show, I have never, ever, 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 and I can't say that now, talked about MMA or UFC or anything like that, this type of fighting, because it's just not the type of so-called sport that would interest me. But I had to take a shot. I told Victor I was going to watch this stuff, and The only one that piqued my interest, I mean, and really surprised me, it was the woman's bout with Rousey completely dominating, completely obliterating Davis. Out of all the men, and that was the only female fight, and there was seven male matches. Now, I didn't see all seven, but the five I did watch didn't even come close, even though it was only 16 seconds into the first round of the women's bout. And the complete dominance of Rousey over Davis. And if I'm not mistaken, all of her bouts, no one's gotten out of the first round with her. So she's 10-0 and hasn't seen the second round in any of her fights, which is amazing. Which is absolutely amazing. So it is what it is. All right. I'm going to take a quick break here, gather my thoughts, and we'll be right back to talk about some basketball. How's that?
If you're into fantasy sports, you're going to love the Fantasy Sports Show with host Victor Gardner and co-hosts Jerry and Black every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. This show is so hot, I can only play the intro.
Fantasy Sports and Policy.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Fantasy Sports Show. Information, motivation, variety. If you're looking to whet your appetite for engaging and informative talk radio, the lineup at the Fantasy Sports and Politics Network has exactly what you need. Shows like The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, Time Out with women's basketball legend Sylvia Crawley, Compassion Dakini hosted by Kim Fung, No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor, the FSP Crew Show with co-hosts Jerry, Black, and The Joker, and the Fantasy Sports and Politics Show all focus on the hot topics in sports, politics, and in life. By visiting fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com, you'll gain great insight into each program and host, access to the show's archives, as well as outstanding articles, photos, and a whole lot more. As well, because of its large and steadily growing following, fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com is a great place to advertise. Stop by today at fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety. For a roundup of the week's events, interviews, and a whole lot more, tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the FSP Cruise Show, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Here's a sample.
We have Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Hello, Stephen A. I'm glad to... This is Jerry, your host, along with my co-host Black and Jeff on here. Glad to...
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, Stephen?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The FSP Crew Show. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, people, I'm back. All right, we're going to change gears. We're going to go away from soccer. We're going to go away from the UFC. And we're going to go and transition ourselves to a little basketball. As you know, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James from the Miami Heat opted out of their respective contracts because that was a prerogative. So now we're into the decision two of LeBron, who the agent of LeBron has been talking to several teams to include the Lakers, Houston Rockets, if I'm not mistaken, probably the Cleveland Cavaliers, and let me go back down here a little bit. where is it at? Among other teams that are looking to, because he's a free agent, and this is what I said yesterday, and I'm saying it again, that his agent is talking to these different teams, and the hope is with the Miami Heat that LeBron decides to come back to Miami and get a max deal, and he's looking for a max deal. So the agent for LeBron is taking phone calls, taking offers, and at one point, if it's something that is worthy of what LeBron wants to entertain, then the agent will, and this is what I would do, and this is probably what LeBron is saying, bring me something. Don't lie. You can listen to all these offers, but don't bring me anything unless it's something worth me listening to. So even though the agent may be taking or talking to different teams, doesn't necessarily mean that LeBron is listening to all these teams. He probably wants his agent. He probably has some guidelines that he put down for his agent and said, this is what I'm looking for. This is what we're looking for. And bring me something like that. Don't bring me every offer because I don't want to hear that. Because every offer is not going to be what I'm looking for. So just bring me the best offers, and we'll see with that. Now, quite naturally, that put pressure on Pat Riley because the fact is, in order to keep LeBron, Pat Riley's got to do something with the team and make sure that LeBron's going to want to listen to it. So it's got to be something that he does and shows LeBron that he's serious about getting his team better. On the other hand, travel up to the East Coast. Phil Jackson, president of basketball operations for the New York Knicks. He's got a dilemma himself. His superstar, his main guy, Carmelo Anthony, opted out of his contract and wants a max offer. The Knicks are prepared to do that. But there's another player, and it's entertaining to Carmelo, that had got his interest peaked, and that's the Los Angeles Lakers. He's close friends with Kobe Bryant, him and his wife, Lala, who is not does not shy away from the camera, and the bright lights could track them going to the City of Lights, meaning L.A. and Hollywood. And take his plane to California. Now he lives during the summer. He lives in California, and so he's 30 years old. He's been to the playoffs, but he's never been to a world championship. And you have to think, he's been in the league for 11 years. Excuse me. And you would think he's looking to, before his days in the NBA are over, get a shot at a title, a serious shot. And not have to wait a year or two that he may have to wait with the Knicks, depending on how quick Phil Jackson can work his magic and get the team in that to that level, meaning championship contending level, with Carmelo still being there, or go to a team that's got a few more pieces in place, and Carmelo could be the final piece. Or just an additional piece that could push a prospective team over the top and bring a championship to whatever team that he goes to. Could it be Houston? Could it be Chicago? Could it be Dallas? Could it be L.A.? I mean, those are the teams, some of the teams that he's been talking to. Some of those teams are not in contention. I would have to think, like I said previously, that the two teams that are really in contention are on both the left and the East Coast, meaning L.A. over in California, and the Knicks over on the East Coast. It's ironic, one's in the East, one's in the West, but that's how it may fall out. Who has the better package, and who's that much more alluring, and can and take Carmelo and push him out to L.A. Now, wouldn't it be absolutely strange here, crazy to think that, and I also already told you that LeBron James's agent had been talking to the Lakers also, but LeBron wants a max deal. So does Carmelo. He already got Kobe in there, who's getting paid big bucks. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think you can think that you can get all three of those guys on the team and be satisfied with the amount of money they're bringing in each season. With all of them wanting to get paid the max. I think Kobe gets paid $26 million a year, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere in that $24, $26 million. LeBron's looking to get into that that airspace and right along with Carmelo. So could it be all three of those guys are there? Could it be just Carmelo? Could LeBron surprise everyone? Not go to L.A. That wouldn't be a surprise. Not go to Miami. That would probably be a surprise. With the biggest surprise, could he wind up, we talked about this yesterday, wind up in Cleveland with Kyrie Irving, who just signed a contract with the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's their the all-star point guard, along with Andrew Wiggins, the rookie they just drafted. They had the number one pick. And LeBron James coming back. And then have Anderson Varejao, and also having to pick up Kevin Love. Now, like I said yesterday, and I'll say it again today, with that five, that starting five, okay, instant contending, instant. I mean, just look at the lineup. That's a lineup that would play team basketball without a doubt. Team basketball, they would have no choice. Their all-star is a facilitator. He takes a lot of shots. That's because in the situations that he's been in Miami, and also especially when he first started out in Cleveland, he had to be the one to take the most shots. Well, if you have a lineup like that, a lineup comparable to, and I'm not saying they are, comparable to the San Antonio Spurs, who have guys that can have a good night on any given night versus relying on one particular player like the Miami Heat for the most part did, like the Cleveland Cavaliers for the most part did, because LeBron James is on there. You have a team there that has Kevin Love, who's an all-star. You got LeBron James, who's definitely an all-star. Kyrie Irving, an all-star. Anderson Varejao, and we don't know exactly what the rookie, Andrew Wiggins, what is coming about, but he's highly touted. Wouldn't get drafted number one for no reason. So with that type of talent around the rookie and the knowledge and the skill level of the players around that rookie, his on-the-job training would be extremely high, and they would get the max out of him. For the simple fact is, the knowledge of the game that these guys possess. Now, it's pie in the sky, and maybe something that the Cleveland Cavaliers and people like myself are thinking that it would be something that would be pretty amazing. But it's not out of the realm of reality that something like that can happen, because the pieces are in place and the situation is that the circumstances are, I should say, is that it can happen. Kevin Love's a free agent. The other three guys, other than LeBron and Kevin Love, are there already. They are there already. So all a matter of if Cleveland steps up to the plate and is able to get those other two players on board. Thing is, would LeBron be able to resolve the issues that came up on his decision with the owner, who to this day hasn't apologized to what he said? The owner was pretty critical of LeBron and the way he walked away from Cleveland. Would all be forgiven if LeBron comes back or what? Have to wait and see what happens. But this should be very interesting. I think Carmelo and LeBron, or I think either one of them, are supposed to make a decision before the end of next week. So have to wait and see what happens. It'll be interesting. I'm just curious to find out where these guys are going to eventually decide to go, because it's amazing that these guys are trying. Well, let me put it this way. San Antonio's championship proved that you don't have to have a big three, to win a championship. If you play as a team, and it was obvious, if you play as a team, and I have to say, the San Antonio Spurs played as a team completely. And they were able to completely blast away the Miami Heat. It wasn't even close. Miami never scored over 100 points in any one game. Closest they came is the game they won. They won 98-96. Otherwise than that, they never came really close to 100 points. Where San Antonio, other than the game they lost, scored over 100 points comfortably. So, and they played as a team, and it was obvious that they were the better team. And I had said that earlier before the series started, and I kept to it. And eventually it came through. All right. Let's move on away from that to another thing that really is going to not happy with, let me put it that way. For those who play fantasy football, or don't even play fantasy football, okay, and know about the wide receiver, Josh Gordon, who broke out last year, who I had touted him highly last year, and he balled out last year. Now, we all know, if you know about Josh Gordon, that he's had some off-the-field issues, either getting busted for pot or failing drug tests, I should say. And that's one of the reasons why more than likely he won't play, is because he failed another drug test and supposed to get a year ban. Well, yesterday. Now, he's supposed to appeal the ruling of him getting banned for a year. Well, yesterday, early Saturday morning, in Raleigh, North Carolina, Josh Gordon, who's already going to be suspended if the appeal doesn't get downgraded or get suspended for a year, was pulled over for going 50 miles an hour in a 35-mile-an-hour zone and received a speeding ticket in addition to driving while impaired. He reportedly had a blood alcohol content of 0.09, which is slightly above the legal limit in North Carolina, which is 0.08. The arrest is Gordon's second run-in with the law in the past 2 months, after he was linked to a possession of marijuana charge in May. And that was when he, I think they got stopped, and they found marijuana in the car, and the other person said it was his, not Josh Gordon's. It further complicates Gordon's appeal of his indefinite suspension, and usually when it says indefinite, it's a year, that's usually what it is, I mean, at least a year, and it could put his career in jeopardy. Now, we've been down this road before. Now, Gordon has an NFL hearing scheduled for his failed drug test in late July. We've been down this road before. Just think back. Justin Blackmon got suspended last year for the whole year. For the whole year. And guess what, people? From what I understand and from what I've been reading, he's still not ready to come back. He's still got issues. So these young players, they go to rookie symposiums. They've talked to by their agents. They're talked to by the team that drafts them, making millions of dollars, especially the higher they are drafted, the more they get, the more money they make. Justin Blackmon was in the top 10, if I'm not mistaken, when he got drafted with Jacksonville. So he got paid. They willing to throw away millions of dollars from off the on the field, and even endorsement deals that can give them more millions of dollars for pot. Come on, man. Are you kidding me? You kidding me? People would give their right arm or leg to do what these guys do and make the amount of money that they make. And for the simple fact, because you can't stop smoking weed, you're willing to give that up. And the bad thing about it, I don't see any white guys doing this. I see all black guys doing this. You see the face on the screen with a name, arrested for DWI, failed the drug test. They're not white. They're black. And a lot of these guys come from bad environments, environments that you and I would not even think about wanting to be in. You would think that to stay out of that environment and to better yourself and your family, you don't do the same knucklehead moves to keep you there. You can't give up pot for millions of dollars. You want to keep it real. So you keep it real and get yourself kicked out of the NFL and you're finally going to wind up sitting on the stoop talking to your friends, your homeboys, and saying, I coulda, woulda, shoulda, because the fact is you couldn't give up weed. You couldn't put yourself out of in that environment. You couldn't walk away from the friends that are pulling you down instead of trying to rise up and have your family rise up with you. Makes no sense to me. Makes no sense to me. And I've heard Stephen A. say the same thing that I'm saying. You can't give up weed for millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. What are you going to do? Your ticket out was football. So you'd rather accumulate tickets and do stupid things to prevent you from getting paid and not give up weed. Come on. I don't know what to tell you. It makes no sense to me. If I ever was in that situation, if I ever got in that situation, there's no way, absolutely no way, I will let anything that I can control get in the way. And that is something you can control. Come to the end of the show. That hour went quick. Went very quick. Guess what, people? I didn't have it on mute one time. Oh, yeah, I want to talk about my team real quick. It's going down. Hopefully I can cut. Like I said last week, hopefully I can gain 2 or 3 points. And I did. Going into the last week, I was down 12 or 13 to 5. I was able to bring it up to 7, which every point counts. Going to the end of the season, I'm right now ranked 9th. I need to get to at least 6 to get into the playoffs. Look like I'm going down this week, but I think I can grab a few more points again just to hold my own. Next week's going to be a long week because it's going to be All-Star weekend. So it's going to be this week and the following week. So it's going to be 2 weeks with the next week. So that being said, enjoy the rest of your 4th of July weekend. Hopefully you have been enjoying it ever since the 4th of July. This is JT, a.k.a. The Master. And I want to say this. Life is a sphere. What goes around comes around. Be careful how you treat people. Today may be for you, but always remember tomorrow is for someone else. Just how God pulls you up, he can pull you down. You never know who you will need in the future, so be careful how you treat people. Do unto others as you do unto them. Peace and blessings. Enjoy the rest, like I said, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we're out.